Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Carpe diem, seize the day. We're going to seize the day today. This holy day, the day before the holiest day. Carpe diem. Do not get your thyroid gland cut out, ever. This show is dedicated to those of you who have been told that your thyroid gland does not function. We got to get into a little basic anatomy and physiology, so those of you who haven't had this diagnosis understand that this is about you also. Even if you've never been told you have a problem with your thyroid gland takes care of your metabolism. And all of us, whether we're low thyroid or high thyroid, have to understand what cell metabolism means. Every year, thousands of people have this gland cut out, the thyroid gland. It's where your Adam's apple is. It looks like a butterfly. If you cut a millimeter or so into your skin around the Adam's apple, you'll hit the thyroid gland. It's not hidden away. It's at the surface of your body. When it inflames, and you've seen people like this, when this gland inflames, it looks like there's something bulging in the neck. Women, after they have children, get this problem. People, as they age, get this problem. Vegetarians get this problem. People around radiation get this problem. It goes high, it goes low. It puts out too much of what it makes, which is called thyroxine. And thyroxine can be broken down into what we call T4, thyroxine 4, and T3, thyroxine 3. T3 is the one we forget to look at. But T3 is the most important one because T3 is the active one. It's the one that does the job. It's the one that goes into your cell and tells your DNA and RNA what to do. Critical, 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 critical situation for you. And when you get it measured in the hospital every year when you do your physical exam, they only measure the TSH, if you're lucky. So we've got a problem, and we've got controversy we've got to clear up. Just hard science we've got to clear up before we get to the so-called fringe science, which is not so fringe at all. It's common sense science. It's what you're not allowed to call science. It's what you conclude when you think outside the box. And do you think outside the box? Can you think outside the box? Are you equipped with enough intelligence to do so? All right, a little basic anatomy and physiology. Up in the center of your brain is a gland. You've heard this before. Mind you, you know, I've done 47 shows and not even a year yet has passed. And I needed to do enough shows because we're going to make references to all 47 shows today in so many ways. So the benefit for you, if you've been listening to this broadcast for the last year or so, the benefit to you is I can put concepts together and get you to the higher level. See, we don't have to stay in the first grade here. We don't have to do kindergarten nutrition. We can move and build on your repertoire of skills. That's the beauty of the show. That's the beauty of the future of medicine. In your skull, in your head, is a gland called the hypothalamus. You've heard it before. It runs the show. It talks to a gland just below it called the pituitary. If you were to put your finger right there between your eyebrows and move backwards, you'd go into that area where the hypothalamus and pituitary live. The pituitary produces a hormone called the thyroid stimulating hormone. You've heard of this. It's called T as in Thomas, S as in Sam, H as in Harry, TSH. TSH is produced by the pituitary to tell the thyroid gland to produce thyroxin, T4. And that T4 circulates to the liver, it circulates to the kidney, it circulates to the cell, and it's converted to the active form of thyroxin called T3. And this, of course, is in a feedback loop that we're going to discuss in a moment because it's so important. And this T3 inside the cell speeds up, it metabolizes, it regulates the speed at which the trillion gazillion operations each day carried out in the cell at almost the speed of light, if not the speed of light, are actually occurring. So we say T3 controls your metabolism. And when your T3 gets low and your metabolism dips, a neurochemical, meaning an electrochemical, meaning a magnetic chemical message, that's vibrational, that's quantum mechanics, that's quantum physics, that's something particulate, meaning that you can see, hits the hypothalamus gland from the thyroid. Or something wave-like hits the hypothalamus gland from the thyroid. A message from the thyroid goes back to the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus decides whether to tell the pituitary to kick in, to send out TSH back to the thyroid gland to either slow it up, you see, or speed it up. So we've got this hypothalamic pituitary thyroid axis, this feedback cycle working. And again, we've got this active hormone T3 that's made in the cells of the body. It's made in the organ systems. And when that T3 functions, thousands of operations occur. And at what rate they occur depends on the amount of T3. That's a little bit of basic understanding. Now, what happens? What happens when one day you wake up and your heart is beating too fast and you're going to the bathroom 20 times a day and your bones ache and your hair is falling out and your pulse is up at about 200 and you feel like your heart's going to jump out of your chest? And your skin is so dry, it feels like it's tearing off. And you run to the doctor in absolute fear and pain and paralysis. And your doctor tells you, Mrs. Smith, your thyroid gland is hyper. It's going too fast. And so what we're going to do to your thyroid gland is we're going to give you a little drug here called Tapazole, or a Tapazole derivative. And what we're not going to tell you is that this Tapazole, after a while, it'll kill your gland. And that's why it might slow your gland down, because it kills it little by little. But we're not going to tell you that. And in that, you might have a medical crisis. You might be going into what we call thyroid storm. It might be a good thing to do. And it might be a good thing to do. And bless medicine, because it can get you out of a crisis situation. So you stay on the Tapazole, and you pray. You pray that this is going to go away. And then they give you a beta blocker, so your heartbeat slows down, so your heart stops responding to signals. And you at least can sleep, and you put on some weight, and these symptoms go away. But now you're on the Tapazole, and they know they can't keep you on the Tapazole forever. So they take you off the Tapazole, and then the symptoms come back. Sometimes you get lucky. You really do. Hooray for the drug. Hooray for pharmaceuticals. If you can get out of it, great. But then there's the other issue, and this happens a lot, thousands of times a year. They just tell you the Tapazole didn't work, and what we're going to have to do now is give you radioactive iodine. And as we all know, the thyroid gland eats iodine. It likes iodine. It needs iodine. If you don't get iodine, good cell resonant iodine, iodine from seafood, then maybe the thyroid gland doesn't work and it goes low. But in your case, it's high. So we give you iodine, but we tag it and make it radioactive. We give you a radioactive isotope of the iodine, and that will kill the gland. It'll fibrose it. It'll put it to sleep. Sometimes we go in and we cut it out. What we should be doing in that moment, what you should tell your doctor to do, is take out half the gland. That's what you should do. You should tell your surgeon not to radiate it. You should tell your surgeon to go in and just cut out part of the gland. Why are they taking out the whole gland? Because it's only your thyroid gland. It's not that important. And better than that, we've got Synthroid. We have a synthetic thyroxin, and it works just as well, and it's the same thing. And just like when we take out your gallbladder, and just like when we take out your ovaries, just like when we replace your joints, just like when we make you bionic, this is an honor to bestow, to have three or four of your organs cut out, two or three of your joints replaced, and you're like a bionic machine then. Except you're a lousy machine because you don't work so well. Because the technology is not there, but don't worry, in 100 or 200 years it will be. And we can have all our parts replaced and be young again. But you see, we're not there yet. Maybe when we get there, we should have this conversation. But you see, right now, if you get your thyroid gland cut out, you are never going to be the same. And if you think you're the same, it's because your sensors are dulled. You were so imbalanced when you had the gland cut out that you wouldn't know what happened since. And that is the truth. And what about your common sense? What about your ability to think outside the box? So they cut the gland out on the premise that they can just give you Synthroid and you'll be fine. And you're not. You're not the same. You will age faster, I promise you. If it's life-threatening, that's one thing. But if there's an option, why wouldn't you investigate an option? So here's the thing. The thyroid goes into a place where it goes hyper. They'll give you Tapazole. Hopefully you can get out of the trap. But if it doesn't work, they're going to radiate it. Don't have them radiate it. Have them cut a piece of it out. Do that. Don't ever let them take the whole thing. I don't know why they do this. They'll only take one ovary and leave the other one. So why don't they just take one lobe of the thyroid gland and leave the rest? Doctors in Europe do this regularly. They do not take the whole gland. Even when you're told you have a thyroid nodule. A nodule is just a calcification. It's a sequestration of garbage in the thyroid. The thyroid is a highly perfusant organ, meaning it gets a ton of blood. And when you get enough garbage in the body, the cell physiology, the cell bio, has a way of encapsulating in a calcium shell the garbage. You make nodules because you have an imbalance in metabolism. So they see this nodule. They can't tell you it's going to be cancer. They can't even give you a good statistic. How many thyroid nodules? So we're moving from hyperthyroid to nodules now. Become cancerous. Well, it could be. We've got to cut it out. You've got three or four nodules. That must mean your risk is higher, and we're here to protect you, and so we're going to cut it out. What are you doing? Watch the gland. And if you have to do a surgery, cut out the piece with the nodules. Leave the rest of the gland. And guess what? You're normal then. Your thyroid will just continue to balance itself out. So first piece of advice, keep the gland. By having your surgeon take a part of it, not killing the whole thing. Now, here's a story. Here's a story of a woman named Clara. And then I'll tell you a little story about a woman named Rachel. Both of them went hyperthyroid. Both of them did what holistic medicine should really be about. And both of them, 10 years later, have healthy glands. And both of them were told this gland needs to be cut out. And Clara was told if you don't cut it out, you could die of thyroid storm. And both of them are healthy today. Not a lot of people cure, fix. Not a lot of people compel their body to heal itself using all the different tools in holistic medicine when they have a high thyroid. You know why? Because they don't want to do the work. It's work. And people are looking in holistic medicine. You know, I always say holistic medicine, and people say, yeah, I know. And they talk about their MD. They don't even make the distinction. I couldn't possibly be criticizing constructively my own field, holistic medicine. It's not possible. It's only holistic right, allopathic wrong. That's what's wrong. That's not thinking outside the box. Why should we replace the dogma of allopathy, of science that parades around as smart science that often is dumb science? Why should we criticize that and act like we've replaced it with another perfect model? Nothing's perfect. There's good and bad in both. Your job is to think outside the box. A man and a god we celebrate tomorrow thought outside the box. So think outside the box and understand that if you elect, after you've been told that your thyroid needs to be cut out or radiated to death, and you elect to go into a holistic process, understand it's not a quick fix. You may work a year or two. You may have to move. You may have to change your entire perspective on life and health. It's your time to resurrect. And that's what a healing is. It's a resurrection. So you get the point. We very appropriately have chosen a topic today, have we not? Because you come into life an innocent child, and you were wounded and betrayed and dishonored and abused and manipulated and lied to. And you have a choice. And that choice is to get on the other side of it, let it go and free up, or succumb to it. Marry your evil thoughts, your negative adaptive pattern to the pains that you've received. And sooner or later, that will translate into a physical illness, a physical disease. And so you have a chance to resurrect. Holistic medicine is a way to resurrect. It is a pathway. But just like the life of Christ, it's not handed to you on a silver platter. Christ paid dues. Those are dues, the agony of the garden. He's paying dues. And yes, he's dying for our sins. He's teaching us something bigger than we are as man. The God in him is inspiring us to another level and asking us to let go of our suffering and forgive. How could medicine overlook this? How can we divorce ourselves from this process? That's stupid to me. Let's forget the ethical, moral, spiritual, religious aspect here. It's just dumb. There are magnetic fields that perfuse the body, and these magnetic fields are fed or they are starved. If they are starved, you die. So Clara's story. When Clara was a little girl, and Clara's alive and healthy today at 54 years old, when she was a little girl, she was very self-conscious about the fact that her breasts did not grow so big. And it hurt her terribly, psychically. On top of which, at 7 years old, in a scooter race, she slammed her head hard into the concrete. She clenched her jaw. By the time she was of pubescent age, she didn't get her period. And her body was very skinny. And if you said boo in the night, she ran and screamed. She was delicate. She was precocious. She was like the deer that you see in the country. And as you drive your car towards it, and the headlights are on, the deer stops and stares at you and doesn't get out of the way. And sometimes the deer is so panicked, it charges your car. Lots of people are like that. In Eastern medicine, dare I say, in Eastern medicine, we call that kind of person a vata, with a V, V-A-T-A. They're slender, skinny, all your models of today are vatas. Very skinny, even anorexic. If they gain 5 pounds, their managers tell them, lose the 5 pounds. Half of them don't get their periods. They don't have enough fat in their body to make cholesterol to make their hormones. But it doesn't matter. They're models, and they have to be very, very skinny. Some people are like this normally. And Clara was like that. And one day at 42 years old, a clinical psychologist with a busy practice, running 6 miles a day, eating perfectly. No meat, of course. No fat, of course. Perfectly. A perfect grain eater. A grazer. Not so much as a soda a year. Not a drop of sugar. I mean, this woman presented with the picture of health, psychologically and biochemically. And then one day she woke up, and it happened. Her hair started falling out. The bowel movements, the pulsing in the heart, the increase in blood pressure, the inability to sleep. What high thyroid deprives you of more than anything is your sleep. That's a bad day for you when you're deprived of your sleep day in and day out and day in and day out. And you're home alone in your bed and your heart is pounding through your rib cage and you're alone. There is no, in this case, man in your life to take care of you. Your parents are dead. Your brother isn't someone you've kept in touch with. And you have people the next day to take care of. And this woman said no. She said, I am not getting my thyroid gland cut out. Now, that's not supposed to make a difference, is it? I'm going to talk about a publication later called Skeptic Magazine by Michael Shermer. I think he's a professor out at Claremont. Great magazine on a lot of levels. But I suspect that this magazine and all the people that write for it are overlooking the fact that when somebody gets something like this and simply says, I will not get it cut out, something, and somehow that has something to do with success. How they can remove themselves from that is unbelievable to me, in the name of science. And they have a team of medical doctors, Harriet Hall, so on and so forth, a team of MDs that don't appear to think that this is relevant, that the difference between a holistic success story and a holistic failure story has to do with what this young woman said at the time. I am not going to get this gland cut out. And 2 years later, even before she healed, she would say, I am not getting this gland cut out. But it's not scientific to suspect that that has something integral to the fact that this woman healed, and it took a good 3 years. Now, I don't have to spend a lot of time today reminding you that head trauma can do what? You should tell me. I can hear you in my head, telling me that when you fall, your cranial bones can shift. They can misalign. They can implode. They can get stuck. You can tell me that as this woman grew up without the breasts that she wanted, not the big plump ones, but the flat ones that the ballerinas have, that she felt unbearably shy and removed and on the outside, and perhaps not the one to speak up. And perhaps that shut down her throat. Perhaps she grew up feeling that no one listened, that when she spoke, nobody turned around, that maybe she was the wallflower, the one that was dismissed. And this couldn't possibly have anything to do with her thyroid gland, that she had lost her voice as she went through her socialization process, could have nothing to do with the neurological impulses into the gland, that the fact that she took that crack to the head at 7 years old, that the fact that she had some sort of a estrogen-progesterone imbalance and never got her period, this just couldn't have anything to do with the thyroid gland. Wow. Go peddle this concept at UCLA. They'll put you in the booby hatch. This is crazy. But you see, this is the same mentality that prevailed when we said 50 years ago, 60 years ago, that cigarettes caused cancer, that women don't need hysterectomies when they're just bleeding out during menopause, that giving people prefrontal lobotomies, 1949 Nobel Prize, is ridiculous. Same mentality. So what did Clara have to do? Well, first of all, Clara, and I can use a term now because you've listened to this show. And if this is your first time, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Stream the show on the computer. Download it to your iPod. I've got every technological gizmo in the world connected to this website. Listen, listen, listen. And later we'll talk about the school. The school where we can take our time and get into these concepts. I'm not selling you a thing here. This is a public service show. This woman, Clara, was sympathetic dominant. Sympathetic dominant. It meant long ago. How about this one? How about when she was breastfed, she bit her mother's nipple? She was a little, little baby. 5 months, 6 months. And she bit her mother's nipple. Kids do that. And her mother, from that day, decided not to breastfeed. It hurt to breastfeed because the kid bit the nipple. So the mother pulled back the breast. And back in that generation, Dr. Spock was all over the place telling people, you don't have to breastfeed, just use Pablum. Artificial milk formula. And so she was taken off the breast. She didn't get a chance to develop orally. She didn't get a chance to develop through her throat. What am I talking about? You didn't get a chance to develop through your throat because your mother pulled her nipple out when you were 4 months old and now you have hyperthyroidism? What? Are you listening? Are you out there listening today? Are you taking enough time to really understand what's going on? Am I reaching you? You bet that science. Women always lead the way. Do you know about 80% of what integrates into holistic medicine are females? Interesting, huh? But females aren't scientific. They haven't won as many Nobel Prizes. At one time, we just thought that however important they were, quite frankly, they were just a little stupider than we were. In fact, at the turn of the century, when we developed basketball, women at Radcliffe were told, this is all on record, they were told that if they persisted in basketball, surely all their organs would fall out the bottom of their body. Challenge me, please. I beg of you. Bring me to task on that statement, and I will bury you with volumes of this nonsense that perfused in all the major women's colleges throughout the entire world at the turn of the century. History remembers. Thank God for history. And you should learn it so we don't make the same stupid mistakes again. Women were told it would just fall out their body. Why is most of holistic medicine female? Because you see, there's something that science ought to respect that's just as important within the science. And if you study the genius of science, the innovators, the Edisons, the Teslas, the Watsons, the Cricks, the Paulings, the Pasteurs, If you study the geniuses of science, they're all intuitive. They are all utilizing their intuitive faculties. Their masculine and their feminine are balanced enough for them to see clearly. It is the idiots in science. It's the clones. It's the slaves to science. It's the bureaucrats that don't think that some woman whose mother pulled her breast out at 4 months and got hyperthyroid and was told the gland should get cut out. It is the clones that don't understand the science behind that. But you're not that way. So we have to understand sympathetic dominance. We have to understand head trauma. We have to understand psychic development. And then we have to understand comprehensive medicine. Comprehensive approaches where you feed the body health and let the body fix it. You don't need to understand that. You see, in holistic medicine, it's just like allopathic medicine, and you just look up in the book, what herbs do I take to slow down the production of thyroxin? And you come upon this famous herb named bugleweed. Bugleweed, like the horn, bugle. And bugleweed, lycopus, will slow down the production of thyroxin. And so why even do this show then? I'll tell you why. Because 10, 12 years ago when I was dealing with this, I did all these things. And they don't work. They may help a little, but they don't work. And when you write a book about bugleweed, and you show the research about bugleweed, and you make it sound like just do this and you'll see it happen. This is where Skeptic Magazine, the doubters, the skeptics, are totally correct. There's another side to this. There's another side to the holistic story. And when critics criticize holistic medicine, so we're flipping the argument, will you allow me to flip the argument? When the critics go after holistic medicine and they say it doesn't work, this is why it doesn't work. Because holistic medicine makes stupid claims like bugleweed cures hyperthyroidism. Or it implies it. Or it sensationalizes it. Or it causes you to think that if you go out there and you get that, you're going to have a massive shift. And then one person does, and all of a sudden it becomes the standard. It doesn't work that way. Iodine infusions. In the literature, if you infuse your body with large doses of iodine, it'll shut down the gland. And you can see the concept behind that. If you feed the body iodine, the hypothalamus will get a message that the thyroid gland is so taken care of that the thyroid gland will shut down the message, that the hypothalamus will shut down the message to the pituitary, and the pituitary will shut down the message to the thyroid gland, and you can shut off your thyroid gland in a hyper case by feeding it with iodine. Makes sense. It probably worked. But how often does it work? How often does anything work? What needs to be studied here is if people approach all the potholes in their health, all the problems of their health in a sequential, prioritized, relentless, aggressive, disciplined way. Do they show statistically a much higher cure rate? And the answer is yes, definitely. But you see, we don't have those studies. This is all the stuff in the trenches, the things that doctors know when they talk to each other. Who's going to publish? Do I need to take a year off from the things that I do to put this together? Is somebody going to pay me? Is there some pharmaceutical company that's going to give me $500,000 this year to take off and do these things? Of course not. There's no money in this. And so it just gets relegated to barroom talk. Over a glass of wine, you talk about the difference between a person that cures and a person that doesn't.
Well, why isn't this in the medical journals of today if it's not true? If it's true.
You see? That's why it's not. And so you won't believe it. Your friends won't believe it. I think the most commonly articulated statement across my desk over the years has been, my friends think I'm crazy. I can't tell you how crazy my family thinks I am. They told me to just cut it out. Cut it out, take the drugs, and shut my mouth. And that's what lots of people do. And then when you stand apart and think outside the box and don't succumb to stupidity, you just can't get over how everyone thinks you're crazy. Take a look at that. How about meat and fat? How about the fact that Clara, the cure, simply had to remove herself from a grain-based diet, and she did. We tried every single nutritional supplement in the world. Everything. And nothing did a thing. We stuffed more herbal grass down her throat than an elephant, and it didn't do anything. And we know how to apply nutritional medicine, believe you me. And it did nothing for Clara. The day after 2 years, we went to meat and fat, get rid of these grains, stuff them down the toilet. Within 6 months, we had begun to normalize her blood tests. Within a year, the symptoms weren't gone, but the blood work was normal. Within 2 years, 2.5 years, she was done. She was fixed. Her body healed herself. I didn't do it. The meat and the fat did it. That's preposterous. How could science be overlooking this? There's just no explanation for it. This is anecdotal. This only happens once in a blue moon, so it doesn't matter. Now, where's the intelligence in that? That one always astounds me. How about you? Does it astound you that if you look at 1,000 people and 2 of them cure, because they did something different, because they had an attitude that was resolute in the desire to heal. That's just an antidote. It doesn't matter. Hey, doctor, see me? I got my thyroid gland. It's 12 years later. It's normal. I'm sorry. That doesn't matter because you're an exception. Now, let me get back to medicine. I don't even know how to handle that. Help me handle that. I have to forgive that. That's really what I have to do, is forgive it. You ever see somebody get their thyroid gland cut out? I have, many times. You will age. You will shrivel like a prune. I didn't notice that. I just thought that was normal. I look as good as my friends. You're numb. You're not sensitized to your process in the beginning, so you're not sensitized to what happens later. But I assure you, this could be proven. Somebody would just pay somebody to do it. Not all of us have the luxury of taking a year off to prove things. Just doing a radio show, I assure you, is enough. Then there's Rachel. Rachel was from a foreign country. And she had the same high thyroid. And she was in the same place. And she was told, move from your apartment. Get out of your radiated, dirty, inner city, dumpy little apartment and move to the country and start to relax. And get out and cut the grains. And we have her blood work today, still on file. She went from a string bean to an Amazon. She put on pounds of muscle. She started to look like a gymnast because she changed her diet. So if you're talking about hyperthyroid, high thyroid, I guarantee you, most of you are Vatas. Most of you are like little deers. Most of you are in sympathetic dominance. Many of you have had head trauma. Most of you are protein deficient. Most of you are trying to work out problems in your psychological life, your psycho-spiritual life, where you've been injured, betrayed, et cetera, and you're still hanging on. Many of you have felt like no one listens to you, and it's shut down your throat chakra. Did I say chakra? That's too esoteric. That might be just not right. Chakra? Chakra is a nerve plexus. It's a real thing. It's in your throat. You can pull it out and bounce it against a wall. A chakra is part of your neuroanatomy. It's just a word for it. And it gives off a magnetic field. And when that magnetic field does not depose the right frequency into the organ, the thyroid gland, which is extremely sensitive as an organ, then what happens is you go into a imbalanced chemical state because the chakra is blocked. All these things are what high thyroid is about. Our solution is to cut it out. I think we should cut that out. But there's no such thing as dogma, you see. So to each your own, but understand the body can heal it if you feed it. Now we're going to get to another topic. We're going to get to that topic of low thyroid, hypothyroid. Way more people have this. Way more people have low thyroid than high thyroid. And the consequences of low thyroid are like the difference between cocaine and marijuana. High thyroid's like cocaine. If you don't fix it, it's going to kill you. Low thyroid's like marijuana. You can have it your whole life, and you think you're just fine. But you've ruined yourself. Lots of people live with low thyroid. And what we do when you get up in the morning and your body's cold and you have dry, scaly skin and your hands sweat and your hair thins out and you wake up tired and you go to bed tired and your muscles ache. Is that you? Are you the person that's got that bulge around the Adam's apple? Because lots of low thyroid does that too. Is that you? Better yet, are your blood tests normal? Did they tell you that your blood tests are normal because your TSH is normal? Is that you? And your T4 is normal. Is that you? Well, you see, where you're getting ripped off right from the beginning is they have to measure your T3. T3, your active thyroxine. Not to mention, what's going on in the blood is not always a reflection of what's going on in the cell. Not to mention that your organs convert the T4 into the T3. So maybe the problem's in those organs. Maybe the liver. Is this a liver thyroid problem? Or is the liver just sluggish? Could the liver be sluggish? Could the liver simply say, I'm the liver, I should convert the T4 to the T3, but you know what? I'm tired because I'm so stressed out from all the other things that you make me do. You bet that's what happens. And so you go to get your physical and clinical exam every year at your favorite healthcare institute. And they take the TSH. The TSH is normal. And the T4 is normal. And yet your thyroid's functioning low. They had to take the T3. If they taught the T3, they'd see that the active hormone is low. And now we'd know you've got it. But if you're normal and you have any of these symptoms, maybe you should do the armpit test. You take a thermometer, you stick it under your armpit, and in the morning before you move, you just measure your temperature, and it should be between 97.8 and 98.2. 97.8 and 98.2. That's about what it should be. And if it's not, maybe your thyroid's low. But it's not that simple. Because even if your thyroid is low, it may not be your thyroid. It may be your adrenals. And the other problem is, you need thyroxine to make progesterone. So if you're a female, low thyroid will mean low progesterone. And low progesterone will create a problem, a reciprocal feed back into the chemistry of your body that'll create more low thyroid. And what about blood stasis in general? What about the rate of perfusion of blood into the thyroid gland? If that slows up, can it slow up? Didn't we do 1,000 shows on coagulability of blood? What the Chinese call blood stasis, liver blood stasis, the extension of which is thyroid blood stasis, purple sublingual veins, blue sublingual under your tongue veins, a purplish tongue, thick blood, hypercoagulability, a decreased prothrombin time, PTT, coagulability of blood does what to the thyroid? It prevents it from working its own metabolic rate. The thyroid gland has to pump out thyroxin, and it needs to be fed by blood, and its excrement needs to be drained out of itself. And it's very subject, because it's so close to the surface of your skin, the thyroid gland is very subject to a lowered metabolism itself. It's like plaque in the arteries. All your arteries can get plaque, but when the arteries to the heart get plaque, you've got a big problem. Your whole body has to regulate its metabolism, but when the cells of the thyroid cannot regulate its metabolism because of blood stasis, you'll have a problem. When the blood in the liver is thick, liver blood stasis, your T4, T3 conversion, your active thyroxin, doesn't work as well. What about the psychostructural aspect? How about the fact that there's muscles around the thyroid gland called the scalenes? When the scalenes get tight, the head moves forward. You know, people that walk around, they're looking like they're looking for change on the floor. They're always walking with their head down. What are they doing? They're letting gravity dominate their head. Gravity with a big head pulls the head forward. As people age, their heads go forward. As your head goes forward, your scalenes get shorter. Now your head is locked into anterior head carriage. That's why we look different from the side on our wedding day and 50 years later. What did we do inadvertently as the head moved forward? It crushed the thyroid gland. It crushes the parathyroid glands behind it. Could it be that low thyroid could have something to do with a structural aspect? Could it be that there's something fundamental in the chemistry of the body that could affect the whole body, but if it was combined with anterior head carriage, it would nail the thyroid? Could it be that a guy that works in construction or a woman that's at a computer 70 hours a week and is getting that gland radiated, well, why would that gland have an issue with radiation relative to another part of the body? Why the thyroid? Could it be that gland is almost on the skin, that the gland is so superficial to the anatomy of the body that it's way more vulnerable? Could it be? Could it be that the thyroid gland is closer to your ear, which has your cell phone on it? Could it be? But this isn't scientific. This is just speculation. It's common sense. It's the number of bad things you do to a tissue has a directly proportional relationship to how fast that gland succumbs. That's very scientific in my book. So if someone's got anterior head carriage, if somebody's on a cell phone, if somebody's exposed to radiation, if somebody's blood is too thick, if somebody's exposed to a ton of chemicals like metals, take out your thyroid gland and put it in the juicer and blend it up. And then see how much garbage is in the thyroid gland. I promise you, if you do that, you're going to be surprised. I promise you the amount of metal, uranium, strontium, lead, arsenic, cadmium, aluminum stuck in that gland is a lot higher than other places. I guarantee you that. Pathologists will tell you that. But you know what? They won't publish it. They'll just tell you that. But only if you're their good friend. Make friends with pathologists. If you want to understand why your cousin Harry got Parkinson's, and that there just might be some relationship to the fact that he was a jet fuel mechanic, or he was a construction worker, or he worked somewhere around the Detroit area where the Great Lakes spew off more poison every day than we can measure, just ask a pathologist. He'll tell you. But those guys are just locked in the basement. They don't really like people. They don't do the Dr. Oz show. They're not social, generally. They're quiet guys. They're very smart. They're very scholarly. And they study these things. But it's absurd to publish. It's just incidental. Oh, yeah, by the way, I did notice this, but it wasn't really anything I thought about after that. What they notice is the thyroid gland has a very high ability. It has a very prejudiced ability to chelate metals. Okay? So from the metals to the blood stasis to the psychostructural aspects to an infected tooth that reflexes to it. All these reasons bring down the rate of flow and metabolism to the gland that controls your metabolism. And then what do? We give you Synthroid or levothyroxine. And what happens then? If we give you, with this thyroid gland not working, and the hypothalamus sending all these messages to the pituitary to tell the thyroid gland to kick in, if we give you a synthetic, what does it tell the hypothalamus? It tells the hypothalamus that there's nothing wrong. And the hypothalamus says, oh, well, there's nothing wrong because there's more of this chemical in your body. So the hypothalamus stops trying to correct the thyroid gland. And what do you think that means? It means you're going to do a lot more thyroxine, levothyroxine, levothyronine, Synthroid. If you do a pharmaceutical with low thyroid, you will interrupt the feedback cycle. You will skew the data. And so over time, you are ensured you're going to be doing more of it. Not less of it, more of it. It's the Hershey Highway. It leads to nowhere. Maybe short term it's a good idea, but long term it's not a good idea. So what do? I just said it. You get healthy, but that's not scientific. You get sleep. So you make your adrenals, because if your adrenals are up, your thyroid will be up. There's a relationship between sleep and your metabolism. You pull open your scalenes. You learn to release through the rib cage, the diaphragm. You go back on to straighttalk.cc, and you listen to the last 47 shows. And you take a big empty pot, and every week on a sheet of paper, you throw one more thing that you did to help yourself into that pot. That's how you heal. And mind you, herbs, plant medicine, guess what? It's great for low thyroid. Fantastic. A lot of herbs will help low thyroid. All of them will. I won't even give you one. Every herb that does good for you helps the thyroid. Okay, I'll say one specific thing, clay. Because the gland is so surface to the skin, if you take that dark black clay, and you know where to get the best. If you take that dark black magma pack and you slap it onto that thyroid and you let that sun bake it for 10 minutes and then you rinse it off, it's sending a message to the thyroid to kick in. Get moving, Mr. Thyroid. It's also detoxing the gland. It's moving the junk out of the gland. See, you can do so much if you speak to the soul. I can call it junk, and you can trust that there's a ton of junk in your thyroid gland, and you can trust that clay is God's chelator. Clay arrives on the scene and sucks everything into it that's bad. That's what clay does. Clay is a gift from nature, and if you slap that on your throat a couple of times a week and just let it bake in the sun, it will stimulate the gland, but you need the sun. And you need a pure, clean quality clay. Otherwise, the clay just as it's gathered, the clay is simply pulling in. I wouldn't take clay from the Nile of Egypt, not in this day and age, because that clay is filthy. Filthier than other clay. Why? Because the dirtier the environment, the more the clay is going to absorb the dirt. So you have to get clean clay. And if you throw that on your throat, you'll begin to detox and stimulate the thyroid. You have herbs for the thyroid. You have herbs that thin the blood. You have stretching for the thyroid. You can learn breath. Yeah, learning breath. How about 6 months to learn to open your breath? Ladies, you understand it. Lamaze. Did you ever have a good Lamaze teacher that taught you and finally said, now you're breathing like you know how to birth a kid? That threshold, ladies, you crossed when you learned to breathe the way you were supposed to breathe. If you did, if you know what I'm talking about, is the way you should be breathing in general, because that will perfuse and stretch the thyroid. It will make it breathe. And if your bite is off, fix your bite. And so on and so forth. And in the end, get healthy. Today's show was dedicated to the intuitive, to people that think outside the box, to people who don't have a life of simply believing what they hear. And what I want to leave you with, and that it's Easter, is the man we celebrate today, tomorrow, this whole week, was not a clone. He was a god and a man, and he thought for himself. And God bless us that he did. And God bless you, and happy Easter, and we'll see you next week. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. Have a great holiday.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.
The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the participants and not necessarily those of KBRT, its ownership, its management, or its sponsors.
Joanna or Rachel at the Premier Clinic in Santa Monica will book your appointment with Dr. Vincent Medici. Submit your request online at straighttalk.cc. That's straighttalk with two T's.cc. Or call 310-320-1132. 310-320-1132. And listen for Straight Talk with Dr. Medici next Saturday morning at 10 o'clock to learn more about your body's inner workings and how to gain and maintain your best health.